Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WGR.
It's hard to find an expert more dedicated than John Clayton.
Sports Radio 550.
He's the consummate pro.
It's John Clayton.
Hello!
Chopin the Bulldog.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living.
Okay, first things first. There's big action on the line. John Clayton, Washington Post columnist, Hall of Famer, etc., etc., actor, metal. Metalhead's not pejorative, is it? That's
no.
Metal fan.
No.
John.
Honorary member of Slayer.
John, please settle a bet for us as we begin.
Okay.
There are lots of zeros in the number that we are... Okay, there are only zeros in the number we are betting on here. Have you been to London?
I have never been to London.
All right!
Damn it.
Took a guess there.
My only overseas trip was to Japan, Tokyo, the Big Egg, for a game between the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks in 1990.
What am I...
Is Seattle closer to Tokyo than it is to London?
Yeah, I think so. I mean... Sorry, I mean, it's hard to remember back to 90 how long it took. It took forever.
Probably.
But this one's going to be even more brutal because I get done with my show tomorrow at 12, board the flight, leave at 12:25, go through Houston because I'm trying to accumulate miles that I need to get to my status on an airline. So I go through Houston, and I land at 11:30 a.m. on Friday.
In London.
London time.
Houston to London is direct.
Yeah, I think it's 8 hours on the time difference.
Yeah, that's right. It takes you longer than that to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know what we Mike just mentioned on the, you know, before we took the break, before you joined us here, whether or not we thought you'd ever been to London. And I thought, I think I remember talking to John Clayton from London when the Bills and Jaguars played there in 2014 or 15. It would have been 2015. But obviously that's wrong. So
Tokyo.
I'm commingling some version of trying to track you down at Super Bowls probably into that.
And No, London has never been on my agenda.
All right.
I don't even know where we're staying. I don't know if I got all the right things I'm going to need for the trip. It's going to be kind of interesting.
How do you feel about that these games are still happening in London?
Fearful. And what I fear is, again, it's like, it's great that they're expanding the brand. I think they are building a good brand overseas. But what I worry about is that, I don't know if you saw the story that came out of Jacksonville, that a few Jacksonville Jaguar employees say eventually the owner is going to take the team over to London. You know, he bought Wembley Stadium and all this stuff. And I know that everybody who knows him thinks he's not, because he's very loyal to Jacksonville. He's put a lot of money into the stadium and around the stadium and all that different stuff. And he's got a great team. I mean, he's got Tom Coughlin as the coach, or not the coach, but the general manager, per se, or whatever title you want to have it. And, you know, they're good, one of the best defenses in football, despite last week. But, I worry that it could take a team overseas. And I just worry about, you know, the drain of trying to go international flying for just the players. I mean, it's going to be a drain, and I think it's going to have a competitive edge one way or another, negative or positive for teams.
Well, you'll decide that based on the outcome of the game, I guess, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, right? Like, the Seahawks are leaving a day earlier, too, aren't they? Like,
they're leaving tonight at 8 p.m. Seattle time, and the Raiders are leaving tomorrow.
Okay.
There's been...
Both the same distance, roughly. I mean, what, it's only... Like, it's 600 miles from Oakland to Seattle.
I know. Think about the practicality of this. You go all the way, halfway around the world, and the two teams go, did we really have to come all the way here for this? Like, we just couldn't have met in, like, Oregon?
Right.
Would have been nice, yeah. And remember, it's like maybe they'll schedule more Raider games next year because they don't know what stadium they're going to be playing in.
Yeah. Move them.
Well, this is a little bit of a hustle for you then. If you're not getting there until Friday, like first time there, like there'll be a little bit of time. The game's not on Sunday, but not a ton. And not like you're there for, you know, 3, 4, 5 days in advance at the game or anything. So that's
no, and it's going to be weird because, like, for example, my 10 a.m. show, I do at 6 o'clock p.m. at night, 6 to 8. And then I don't know if I'm going to be doing, I'll have some afternoon segments that I'll have to do, and that'll take me up to midnight. But it's like, wow, that makes for a strange time. Now, I guess the good and bad, I don't have my Saturday show because they won't have enough equipment there. And so the only thing I have to do between the Friday hits and the game is to sleep.
Yeah. Now, this game is at Wembley. I haven't exactly had my finger on this, but I know from paying attention to the English Premier League that Tottenham, and they're building a new home, and it's supposed to be like this football-ready dual-purpose home, and that's where the NFL wants to play games moving forward. And they've been playing, Tottenham has, home games at Wembley because the stadium, I think, was supposed to be ready and is not yet. Like, I don't know what's going on there. But
it's some kind of a security thing that I think is part of it that makes it not ready. And I don't know exactly what it is, some things that they were building in there for security purposes, and apparently they're just not ready yet. And so I think it was like about 6 weeks ago they made the decision to switch the game back to Wembley.
Right.
All right, so it's kind of interesting here right now, John, after the Bills win over Tennessee with the signing of Derek Anderson. Your longtime colleague Chris Mortensen had that on Sunday morning. And even in tweeting about it, which was news to pretty much all of us, Derek Anderson and the Bills, a reference to possible playing time for him. What do you think the Bills should do with Allen, who is struggling? He's 2-2 as a starter, but the passing numbers are about the worst in the league in almost every category. And here's Anderson now, who's been a veteran, played in the league for a long time. What should the plan be?
I think the plan should be to get him up to speed as quick as possible, and then maybe within a week or two have him as a starting quarterback. I think that would be the better thing to do. It's a shame they couldn't have got him a couple weeks earlier because, I never had any faith in Nathan Peterman was going to be able to do anything. He's not shown anything that he can be a starting quarterback or a good quarterback in this league. And I still think that they're rushing Josh Allen. And I think you can see it. I mean, even though it was a very good victory over Tennessee, I mean, what did he throw for, like 57 yards? And so I just think they'd be better served to have another quarterback in there, and that other quarterback can't be Nathan Peterman. So if D.A. is the guy, which he is, I think, get when he feels comfortable, have him take over the offense.
Here's what I don't like almost anything about this idea, but a part of what I dislike the most, John, is the specter of Allen being benched 6 or 7 or however many games into his career we'd be you're talking about here. I think that has as much potential to ruin him as him continuing to play, because I know he's not producing, but I don't think he's being scarred by this so far.
No, but I think that he can get scarred by this because, if he starts having more 57-yard days and they start losing games because of that, then internally the team's going to think that, wait a second, if we had somebody else in there, maybe we would win. I think the good part about this is that if you can get him out within a week or two, then what you've done is that you preserved so much. Because, number one, he'll have at least 2 wins to his belt, which advances him. He now has 4 starts, which he'll have 5 this week, but that gives him a chance to say, okay, I made some progress, and then you take a break, you go with Derek Anderson, then you judge it as the season goes on. If the season goes south and they're sitting there with a losing record, then maybe put Josh back in November. But I think it's better served to take him down. And again, the fact that he's won 2 games, I think that minimizes that problem that's going to be there for him being benched.
John Clayton with us. Okay. LeSean McCoy. So there was a report that the Eagles have asked about him, and Sean McDermott about that said kind of that happens all the time, and that is believable. What about the idea of trading him from both teams' standpoint, John, the Bills and the Eagles?
It would make great sense for the Eagles, and I can't see the sense for the Bills. Because why give up a running back? Because, again, for 2 reasons. Number one, why lessen the talent on the team? Which, again, I think a lot of people think that this isn't the most talented team in football. It's among the, least talented teams as far as an opinion. And then take a running back away from a quarterback, particularly a young quarterback like that. Because, again, if they're going to continue with Josh Allen and you take away the running game period, then there's no chance of him succeeding. So, no, I think it makes sense for the Eagles. Doesn't make any sense unless it's a ridiculously high draft choice from the Eagles. So I would say don't make the trade.
Best game Josh Allen played was in Minnesota, a game that McCoy was inactive for. It forced maybe the coordinator, Brian Daboll, to come up with a plan to offset that. Simple passes, quick passes, and it worked. Like, it's the best Allen's looked, by miles. So I don't know. Like, all of this stuff doesn't really line up to me. If I'm going to play Anderson, what am I trying to do? Am I trying to be a playoff team? I mean, John, this team is not talented. I can't imagine a scenario where Derek Anderson helps them so much that they have a year like last year. And so, like, McCoy being moved to me is them being realistic about who they are and what they are. So, I don't know. I would take an asset for a 30-year-old running back in a heartbeat, especially because he's on a team that I don't think with him is going anywhere.
Yeah, but the one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to Blake Bortles the guy. And what I mean by Blake Bortles is that you can see young quarterbacks, they at least get a break if you have a running game, because at least there's a little bit more balance. And Blake Bortles, they didn't have a running back for him when he got there. They rushed him in. It broke him the first year. And even though he played a little well this year, I mean, you can see that I don't know if he's ever going to make it as a big-time quarterback. I mean, again, he's made the playoffs. He went to a championship game last year. You saw how bad he was against Kansas City with the turnovers, five turnovers or whatever it is. It was pretty ugly. But I still think that the best way was with what Kansas City did with Patrick Mahomes. Sat him for 16 weeks, put him in the last game. He learned a lot. And I know spending a bunch of time with the Chiefs and the coaches and all that stuff, that's the thing that works so well. And here's where Derek Anderson can help him out. You want a good quarterback room with a young quarterback. For example, Josh McCown does a great job for Sam Darnold. I know in the case of Mahomes, Alex Smith was there. And I know what the coaches said is that Alex gave him such a good impression because, you know, what Alex did is, you know, number one, come in early and stay late. Taught him that. Now, that's easy to say that a quarterback's going to do that, but you don't know what you don't know. And so at the moment, you've got Josh learning from a young quarterback at Nathan Peterman. Is he learning a lot? No, he'll learn more with a Derek Anderson. The second thing is if the quarterback, you know, shows him what to do, shows him how to get through the day, showed him how to deal with his teammates, and that's where Derek can help, and that's where Alex Smith helped Patrick Mahomes a lot. And so Patrick learned so much from Alex through all those days of just waiting and waiting for the chance to play. Look at the results now. Now we realize he's a phenomenally talented quarterback, but then so is Josh Allen. And so if you give a good quarterback room and an experienced quarterback to help out, I think it's so much better, particularly if you let the guy sit.
John Clayton with us. John, do you realize Dallas has been on Sunday Night Football 43 times since 2006?
Is that right?
43. Wow. The Bills have been on once.
43 times.
43 times. The Bills have been on once, and that was against New England in its undefeated season of 2007. What's up with that? I mean, Dallas is hardly ever really that good either.
No, you're right, because, again, they always disappoint because they get to a certain level, and then Jerry Jones doesn't get enough talent to get them over the top, and that's got to be a concern. But I think you can see it works ratings-wise because you know, they are a brand. They are the America's team, theoretically, and even though they can disappoint you, they draw big audiences. And I know that you know, one of the things that I think certainly came out last year when they were trying to reconfigure what to do on Thursday night, there was always that thought that maybe you just take a team like Dallas and you give them all the night games, as opposed to the way it is right now, where I think the max is five in a season for any team. So, I mean, you know, ratings are good. And even as disappointing as this offense is for the Dallas Cowboys, they, you know, they still draw. And it's because of Dak Prescott, it's because of Ezekiel Elliott, you know, and so they still get good ratings, even though they may not get great performances.
Imagine tuning into Sunday Night Football to watch Dak Prescott. Like, okay, so Mahomes is there next Sunday, Kansas City and Cincinnati. You know, okay, really, John, I think I'm most fans. I think I might be like 80% of football fans who watch these games. I almost don't care at all who the teams are. I want two teams. I want to be able to bet on it. I want to have a fantasy interest. And, you know, after that, who am I not watching on Sunday Night Football? Dallas against Houston. Houston isn't the worst, I guess, but that's not really an interesting game. But I'm there. Like, they don't have to worry about it. I don't know. Like, I don't even know what point I'm really making here. It's just like 43 times.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I agree. But I tell you, it's like what you're seeing right now is that the quarterback infusion and the stats and all that stuff are really, I mean, ratings are up, what, 7 to 14% on just about everything. I mean, what they're drawing, like about 45 million on all the Sunday broadcasts that are out there. and that's encouraging. I mean, they and again, you're seeing great quarterback play. I mean, the numbers are off the charts right now as far as what quarterbacks are doing from touchdown passes and that. And, I mean, you've got, what is it, 16 or 17 quarterbacks at the moment are on the possibility of getting a 4,000-yard season. I mean, it's remarkable what's going on, and it's worked in the ratings. Now, again, part of it is because the league is making it impossible to be a defensive player. You don't know how to tackle. I mean, you're always getting 15-yard penalties. I mean, what is it now, 50 penalties for roughing the quarterback? And you saw the stat that they put out, which I today, this in the first 5 weeks of the season is the fewest missed games for starting quarterbacks in the league, the fewest. And, you know, of course, three of them were on a suspension from Jameis Winston. So, you know, traditionalists aren't going to be liking this, but apparently fans are buying into it because they're seeing good quarterback plays and they're seeing offense.
You're saying that 16 quarterbacks are on 4,000-yard paces? The Bills' offense is on a pace of about 3,600 yards. John, 3.6 yards per play. 29th.
And yet they won two games. I know, it's amazing.
I know. 29th in the league is 5 yards per play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty low.
No, it really is low. I agree with that. And
that's why you take the quarterback out.
I think you take the quarterback out. I mean, again, you can't do it this week. You may need an extra week or two, but I think within 2 weeks, if Derek Anderson can pick everything up and be ready, you get him ready to go out there and give Josh Allen a break.
And that would be,
you don't want to break Josh Allen.
You know, this to me is possible, and that would be Monday Night Football at home against the Patriots. And, like, you would take Josh – either way, that's going to be a story.
Right.
Like, you take Josh Allen out for that game. I agree with you. I'm not saying I would do it. I would never do it. But I think they might. I think they have shown that there is no overriding philosophy here in play about what to do with Allen. And if there were, right from the beginning when he was drafted, he would have been their starting quarterback, or they would have – either kept A.J. McCarron or cut Peterman and signed someone better or whatever, they would have done something else. There's no overriding strategy here that's been demonstrated. So I think Anderson is going in. I mean, I think everything sort of logically takes me to that conclusion. It's just a matter of when.
Boy, someone while we've been
don't understand why it's taken 5 weeks to get him on the roster.
Right.
Because, you know, they could have done this in week one.
Yeah,
they could have done it early.
While we've been sitting here talking, our listeners are tweeting at us, and someone used the word bumbling. And I think that's right. The Bills are bumbling. This thing. It looks like they don't have a focus on what they want to do with the most important person drafted into the franchise in how long? Do I want to go with ever? Oh, my gosh. That's the thing about putting Anderson in, John, that is making me nuts is, like, I mean, I can listen to them needing to be better on offense, but it just looks like they don't know what they're doing is how it looks, and that's not acceptable.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, they've traded two quarterbacks that would be,
yes.
And again, you would have to say that A.J. McCarron potentially, I don't know if he's better than Derek Anderson. I mean, Derek's 27-20. I mean, I'm kind of fond of him because I saw some Cleveland games the year that he started, and I like his arm, and, you know, his family's from Mill Creek out here in the Seattle area, so, you know, I kind of probably like him more than most. So I don't know. A.J. McCarron may not be as good as Derek Anderson, but clearly I thought Tyrod Taylor is better than A.J. McCarron, and so it's like you take a step back there, major step back in the sense that now you go to Peterman, who, you know, he stays on the team, but of course you still wonder why, because there's nobody else. But I still wonder why not get Derek Anderson in week one or week two, because now you don't have to wait that extra week or two, and at least you have options.
Well, there are two possible reasons, maybe more, probably more. One is he didn't want to do it then. I don't know.
Yeah.
Another is you just traded McCarron, and you look this. You look more people would describe you as bumbling or something if you signed Derek Anderson right after trading A.J. McCarron. Like, do you want a guy or not? I don't know. I want Josh Allen on the field because I want to find out if he needs to be replaced as soon as possible. And this, John, we were sitting here and you were sitting there, and they had J.P. Lossman from the first round, and like, oh, let's try Kelly Holcomb for a while. And they had Trent Edwards, who had some success. Oh, let's put Ryan Fitzpatrick in. And they had E.J. Manuel, who had about a .500 record. And let's put Kyle Orton in. And did any of those guys make it back? Like, did any of those young guys ever, like, really get everything they needed? No. And so this doesn't have to be like that, but it's what I remember. It's what has happened here. And without the supporting rest of it, without the rest of it, who knows? Like, you're just delaying. If you were to do it, they have not done it yet. This can be looked at as Anderson is here to make Allen better, and that's it. And time will tell. But you think he's going in?
In other words, I mean, he becomes his Josh McCown, because Josh was comfortable enough to at least put his ego aside and have Sam Darnold go. And again, I still think that Sam Darnold's out there too early. But again, he's got a couple wins and all that stuff, and you know, Josh Rosen's out to a decent idea. But I think everybody agreed of the five quarterbacks in the first round, Josh Allen might have been the least prepared to make that move into a starting role. I mean, you know, Rosen and Baker Mayfield, they were considered to be the most prepared. And then it came down to a debate between Lamar Jackson and, you know, Josh Allen. Who would be the most least ready in that first round to be able to go out there and play?
John, enjoy London.
I will try. I'm just trying to worry now. What happens with Marshawn Lynch over in London?
You tell me.
Is it ugly or good?
I mean, I don't know. He's going, right? He's allowed to go to London.
Oh, yeah, he's going.
Revenge
game.
Revenge game for Marshawn Lynch. You can catch up with him.
Right.
You probably will.
I still remember Marshawn 5 feet away from me in a Raider preseason game against Seattle, and all Marshawn was doing fun finger flips to the Seahawks sideline.
Oh, nice. That's become a trend.
Yeah.
Guys doing
remember,
that.
Remember,
he
did it a couple weeks later against another team, and he got caught and got fined.
John, have a great trip.
Thank you.
I thought he was going to say, like, all I remember him doing was like cross stitch. That would have been funny.
Yeah, I was bracing for something. I didn't know what was going to get there. John Clayton's appearance here on the show brought to you by Northwest. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living.
You ever do that cross stitch? Joe's big into that.
It's a sewing thing.
I think so. Right.
Sounds like a sewing thing.
Does it?
Yeah, my sewing experience. extends only this far, sewing buttons back on two shorts.
That have popped off because you've gotten too big?
Yep.
I have that. Yep. I've definitely had that.
That's it.
Wait, let me see if what I'm wearing. Now these shorts do have a button. That's good.
The shorts I'm wearing right now, I did that on, I don't know, a month and a half ago. That's it.
You think it's on there better? Is that like when you have like an Achilles injury?
I did a great job.
The ligament it's like stronger.
Stronger than it was originally. Yes. Yes. I did a better job than the manufacturer originally did.
Right.
No question.
What is that about? Is that Achilles or is that like an elbow ligament or what is that? Like it's stronger than ever.
No.
Your button is stronger than ever because it broke.
It's never
and
coming
you
off.
Reattached it.
Yes.
It's on there better than ever. You put more effort into it than the original manufacturers.
Oh, sure. I'm no assembly line. These shorts aren't just a number to me.
That's right.
They're a regular piece of my
fabric.
Yes, thank you. In more ways than one.
Right. Sports next. 803. We heard some things there from John Clayton. I mean, what do you think of any of that? 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Tre'Davious White showed up on the injury report today. He has an ankle issue. Both safeties, Micah Hyde and Raphael Bush, are also on the injury report for the Bills, who face the Houston Texans Sunday in Houston. They are an 8.5-point underdog. Kyle Williams and Lorenzo Alexander got their usual Wednesday rest days. Deshaun Watson and Lamar Miller, both dealing with chest injuries, were limited at Texans practice, and both players said they expect to play against the Bills.
Injury news around the league. Jaguars running back Leonard Fournette has been ruled out for week 6 against Dallas. He hasn't played since week 4, and there's a report that Fournette could be held out through the Jaguars week 9 bye week. Colts wide receiver T.Y. Hilton, as well as tight end Jack Doyle, are week to week, and Colts reporters say it doesn't look like either is going to play this Sunday against the Jets. And Giants tight end Evan Engram ruled out versus the Eagles. They play on Thursday night. He is expected to be ready for week 7. The Sabres were back on the ice practicing today. They got Vladimir Sabatka and Johan Larsson back and ready to return, but Coach Phil Housley would not say whether either would enter the lineup tomorrow when the Sabres finish up their season-opening 4-game homestand with a game against Colorado. It's the last game before a five-game trip out west. Puck drop tomorrow a little bit after 7. We'll be live at 716 with our show, Paul Hamilton, Rob Ray, the usual Sabre game day cast of characters with you. Zach Bogosian also spoke today and said he's progressing well but isn't ready for game action just yet. He also declined to say whether or not the injury he's suffering from currently was related to a previous injury, something that Phil Housley said wasn't the case. That was interesting. Not surprising, but at least interesting. Next update in about 30 minutes.
I think the plan should be to get him up to speed as quick as possible, and then maybe within a week or two have him as a starting quarterback. I think that would be the better thing to do. It's a shame they couldn't have got him a couple weeks earlier, because you know I never had any faith that Nathan Peterman was going to be able to do anything. He's not shown anything that he can be a starting quarterback or a good quarterback in this league, and I still think that they're rushing Josh Allen, and I think you can see it. I mean, even though it was a very good victory over Tennessee, I mean, what did he throw for, like 57 yards? And so I just think they'd be better served to have another quarterback in there, and that other quarterback back can't be Nathan Peterman.
How many was it? Was it 82 yards?
82 yards, yeah. The second time he said it, I was going to, but whatever. I mean,
it's a lot more, but it's not a lot.
Right, it's under 100. Point it's embarrassing. Holds. It's, yeah, right. It's bad. It's bad.
All right, John Clayton says, get Derek Anderson in there. If you want to pick him up in your deeper fantasy leagues right now, Derek Anderson. He's probably available. Just like he was available to the Bills.
57 is the number, though, that Tyrod had against the Saints last year.
Okay.
Strangely enough.
Maybe John had that like stuck in his head from last year. I don't know.
In a game that they were losing all day. That's worse.
Yeah.
Here.
Right. Right. There was not even any garbage time.
No. You weren't going to see him throw deep on the last play or anything to add to that total. Here is Colin with us on WGR. Hello, Colin.
Hey. Weighing in on what Clayton said, personally, Putting Anderson in place of Allen, I'd hate to see it. Like you guys said, the cycling that we've seen from the last 10 years now. If Anderson goes in and then next year we're looking at Allen as our week one starter and Allen starts to lose games here and there, do we give up on him like we gave up on the other quarterbacks? I just hate to see that. But as far as what happened last year with Tyrod and the Peterman situation against the Chargers, if Allen goes out and wins this game against Houston, and then an organization decides to bench Allen and put Anderson in, there's going to be a lot of heads turning, and I don't think anyone wants that on their shoulders like they did, like they saw last year.
I don't think. Thank you, Colin. I don't think they would do it after a win, but they did sign him after a win. As it turns out, it sounds like they were already planning to do so. I think Anderson will play, but I don't think they would do it after a win. That would just be even weirder.
Yeah.
And there would be a lot of people. You know, John Clayton does not represent the views of Bulldog or myself. Like, and I think most of you in the audience. It just sounds very, very old-fashioned. Rookie quarterback should wait. See Patrick Mahomes. Okay. You just don't know whether that's the cause. And further, like most teams are not doing that. And you do have, I mean, it's good for comparison's sake. You do have other rookies starting right now, and they're doing okay. Like these other guys, they all won Sunday, including Allen. So you do have some of that out there. I think most people bristle at the mention there. At least that's how my Twitter looks, that the plan should be to put Anderson in. But I think they will. I don't think they win these games. Like, I'm not expecting. They're 8.5-point underdog. Again, like, their wins are, to me, pretty surprising.
I don't think they're going to put him in. I think they wanted some support here. I think they, perhaps rightly, although, I don't know. I feel like I'm a little kid that just wants to get his way at this point. Like, I don't know that I've got a good argument to tell you why they won't do it. Because Peterman is still here. That's weird. Like, if they wanted just a backup that could play, then that would you would infer from that they think Peterman can't. But yet he's still here, and that doesn't add up. So, like, okay, the hell with that idea. Mentor, okay. Why didn't you think that right away? And do something about it. so that he would have had someone here on the ground with him when he got here for mini camps and everything, if that's so damn important to you. The whole thing just doesn't add up, but I still end up spitting out, he shouldn't come out. The only hesitation I have about saying that so emphatically is that I'm obviously not there to see how he is reacting. That can be during games on the sidelines. That can be more so, I think, in meetings and just around the building. If they sense some change that could be damaging to him that's happening because of, you know, throwing for 82 yards in an NFL game, and then I could understand them having some hesitation to keep rolling him out there. But I'm not seeing it in his play, and I know he's not completing passes. Like, I'm watching these games. I take some notes even while I'm watching them.
I've witnessed that.
But I think the analysis of him is correct in that he is struggling and he's holding them back. But the things that he's failing to do, to me, are not indicative of a player who is being scarred and marred by what's going on around him. Chris Trapasso, who we've talked to a few times, we had him scheduled last week and then we changed it, went through the film and said he only bailed out of two pockets earlier than he should have on Sunday. Like, to me, that's a telltale sign. If he's getting so much pass pressure that he doesn't know whether he's coming or going and is back there, and when he's got time to throw, he's, I gotta go, and rolling out of there and turning his back to the play and all this stuff that we've seen in spots from him. But despite the struggles, like, what he did was miss throws on Sunday.
Would one of them be his touchdown run, though? Like, his highlights are running.
Maybe. But I don't see a guy that is so messed up by what's happening around him that it's harmful. I think what I see is a guy who's missing throws.
I don't think that that's what it would be about. I'm not in the room either, but I don't think that that's what this would be about. I think what you've got is a coach who needs to continue with his whatever it takes to win right now, you know, now and later, and the best interest of our team and all this stuff. They are getting bottom of the rung production from their passing game, from their offense. Like, they're on a historically low pace. So what do you want to do about it? Something or nothing? And I think they have chosen something. Now, Anderson isn't even second string yet, and Allen can probably do away with, I mean, it's conceivable that he just, that everything elevates, and there's never any need for this, as the Bills would see it. But, you know, this coach has his mantras, and he has his beliefs, and is he going to tell the veteran players on the team, is he going to coach the team and ignore what they're doing? And the Peterman thing is so weird. If he can't play, then he shouldn't be there. And somebody else should. And maybe that's happening now, but that should have been obvious last year, let alone after Baltimore. Holy cow. This is the weirdest time in the Bills in my career. It just doesn't make any sense why he is still there. Is he in the way of some other plan taking shape? It doesn't make sense. You can't play him, but they have him. Why? It's so strange. So they made the playoffs last year with a relatively poor team that took the ball away and didn't make mistakes, and they won games like they won this last game. Enough of them. And they are probably thinking about trying to do that again. Say what you want. And if Allen is still at this league-low level for production as the quarterback for that offense, then he has another way now to do something about that. See, guys, developing Josh Allen is not the only thing we care about. And they know this player, and, you know, I think he's a respectable option for this kind of thing. And I expect him to play, because I think that that's Sean McDermott is about that. And I don't think it's necessarily about Josh Allen's psyche. I mean, I wouldn't expect to hear anything about that. I wouldn't expect it to be anything about that. They're simply terrible on offense, and a lie, they're one game out of first place, and Derek Anderson can come in and give them perhaps a better chance of winning.
Yeah.
And I think that's it.
That's insane.
I think they have demonstrated that Josh Allen's development is not job one. The preseason would never have been the way it was. The beginning of the season would never have been the way it was. For all the times we said, he's the thing, they didn't act like it. They didn't demonstrate that they agreed with that. And so there's no reason for me to think that it's about that. They will replace him if he struggles, and he is struggling badly.
Just so we're clear, I think I know you know this in the audience. I don't think how you laid that out is insane. Like that makes sense. I think them being about anything but Josh Allen's development is insane. That is all this year should be about. That roster is a joke. The skill position players are a joke on this team. Trade LeSean McCoy, keep playing Josh Allen, and concentrate on his development, and stop worrying about the process of trying to win 9 games and squeeze in and go kick a field goal in the playoffs. I don't need it. I barely needed it last year. It was fun. I don't need it again. That's nuts. If that is their approach, again, just so we're clear, like that could be all right. That's terrifying to me.
Yeah. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back to the show after this timeout on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.